In the chapter, Matthew 22, where we find the question that I want us to think about this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ is being questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. A number of different questions are asked, but coming towards the end of the conversation that Jesus has with them, he turns the tables on them and he asks them a question. And in verse 41 down to verse 46, we read these things. It says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The son of David.' He saith unto them, 'How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?' And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." They have been questioning Jesus, but now Jesus questions them. He asks them this one question, and we can lift the five words out of their context if we wish. I'm not going to do that, but we could put that question to you right now, and we could ask you the question, "What think ye of Christ?" Because that's what Jesus asked them. He asked them what they thought of Christ. And it's that question I want us to consider this evening, because it's a primary question. It's the primary question that we must all answer. What think ye of Christ? People ask many different questions at different times and stages of life. I'm sure those who are parents, or perhaps even now as grandparents, you'll remember the stage of life when there were children who were toddlers, and every question seemed to begin with the word "why." And when you heard that word "why," sometimes you started to think, "Oh, why?" yourself. These questions just kept coming. Then we ask ourselves questions when we're thinking about our future. We'll ask ourselves, "What am I going to do with my life? What career am I going to pursue?" There are questions that we ask ourselves at other times. One of the regular questions asked in our house now is a variation on "What's for dinner?" Sometimes we ask the question, "What do you want for dinner?" And the answer will come back, "I don't know. What do you want for dinner?" And maybe you've all been in that place. Questions are asked all the time. The Pharisees asked many questions of Jesus during his 3 years of ministry, but Jesus asks this question, and it's much more important than any other question. The question is this: what think ye of Christ? It's getting them to the heart of the matter, because it's bringing them to consider what they have believed. It's bringing them to consider what they have known. Jesus has made statements about the fact that he's the one sent from God. But in this question, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to the Sadducees, and they're gathered together, and he asks this question, asking them to consider what the scriptures say about Messiah. Because the question goes on, and Jesus says, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" You see, they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And this question was for them. They had to answer the question regarding what they believed from the Bible, what they believed from the Word of God. Because they knew that God had promised in His Word about a Messiah. They knew that God had promised to send a Messiah. But these religious leaders who were challenging Jesus, confronting Jesus, questioning Jesus, and doubting Jesus, they were still looking for the Messiah, and yet there he was, right in front of them. The one who had come, the one who God had sent. And they're still looking for someone who will defeat the Roman authorities, one who will deliver them from the captivity, the bondage that they find themselves in at this time. Jesus asked them a similar question. Matthew records it back in chapter 16 and verse 15, where Jesus asked the question directly, "Whom say ye that I am?" That was a direct question. This is a more discreet question. But the answer to both questions is the same, because this question gets to the heart of the gospel. You see, friend, tonight, it's only when we understand who Jesus is, only when we grasp why he came to this earth that we then begin to understand our need of him. He came because of sin. He came because God loved the world and sent his Son to be the Savior of sinners. He came to go to the cross. So as we think about the question that has been asked this evening, I want to ask you, while you're sitting in your car, maybe you're sitting at home tuned in online, I want to ask you a question. How would you respond to this? If you're asked the question tonight, what think ye of Christ? Do you know about him? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why he came to this earth? And as you think about the question, I want us to look at the answer that the Pharisees give. Now their answer is, if this is the primary question, theirs is a partial response. Because whenever they respond, they say unto him, the Son of David. And there is a sense that they are correct in this answer that they have given. It's one of the prophecies about the Messiah, that he would come from the line of David, he would be from the line of the king. And these Pharisees, they had a knowledge of the scriptures. And while they had a knowledge, they had no wisdom about what it meant. They missed the very obvious fact, this obvious reality, that the Messiah was the one who was asking them this question. And they missed it because they thought they knew better. I once heard it said that the difference between knowledge and wisdom, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. And the fact is, you can have plenty of head knowledge, but lack wisdom. You can lack understanding of the significance of something. And for the religious leaders here, these Pharisees, they had all the head knowledge. They had all the answers on a basic level, but they missed the important point. They missed the fact of who Jesus Christ is. And because of their pride, they rejected the one who God had sent to be the Savior of the world, the one who God sent to save the guilty sinner. The Bible says that God loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they missed it. If you look back just one chapter in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, you'll see the story told of the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And as he makes his way into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry into the city, in verse 8 and verse 9, we read about a great crowd who are gathered. And as that crowd are gathered, it tells us that they cried out, Hosanna. Now who did they cry Hosanna to as Jesus was coming into the city riding on a donkey? They cried out these words. They said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is a note of worship. The people, as they were gathered, they looked at Jesus and they called him the Son of David. In other words, they're recognizing who he is. They're recognizing that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. Just a few verses later on in Matthew 21, Jesus is in the temple and he's healing people. And as he's healing people, they're crying out these same words, Hosanna to the Son of David. But it tells us in Matthew 21 and 15 that while the people are crying these words out about Jesus, and while they're acknowledging him as who he is, it tells us that the chief priests and the scribes, when they saw this, they were sore displeased. These religious leaders, they should have known better. They should have recognized him because they knew their scriptures. And yet they rejected him. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you know who Jesus is, but don't know Jesus? Do you know who he is, but you don't know him as your Savior? Maybe you've heard about Jesus all of your life. Maybe from a little child you've been brought up in a Christian home, a home where you were sent out to church and you were sent to Sunday school, and from you were a little child, you've known about Jesus. And you maybe have been taught about his coming, and we think of Christmas time, and every year at Christmas time, we talk about his coming to the earth as a little baby. And maybe you have heard every Easter time about the cross and how the Lord Jesus went to the cross. Maybe at different times you've heard about his life, you've heard about his miracles, you've heard about all the things that he did. And maybe you're sitting in your car tonight and you could tell me all about the life of Jesus. You could tell me all about what the Bible says about him. And it might be the case that as you're sitting in your car tonight, that you know that Jesus is the one who was sent to be the Savior of the world. You know that he's the one who went to the cross of Calvary for the reason of paying the sin debt for guilty sinners. You know all that. But you don't know him. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. In one sense, you're the same as these Pharisees. You know about him, but you don't know him. And maybe you've rejected him for a variety of different reasons. Maybe you've rejected him because you are happy in your sin. Maybe you've rejected him because in your head you've tried to work it all out and you simply are saying, I don't believe. Maybe you've rejected him because you think you're good enough and that you're going to come and stand before God and you're going to plead your case on your own merits. The Pharisees thought they were good enough. The Pharisees thought they were better than everyone else, that they kept all of the law. But the Pharisees didn't know Jesus. They didn't accept him as Savior. They rejected him. And they could only speak about him in an abstract sense. They didn't have true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus tonight? Can I say to you, don't be like the Pharisees. You know the truth. You've heard the truth. You know that your sin separates you from a holy God. And you know that Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross so that your sin would be dealt with. You need to turn to Jesus and be ready for heaven. There's a primary question. There's a partial response, but there's a powerful reality. And we're finishing with this in these later verses at the end of the chapter. Jesus asks another question. And in doing that, he calls their understanding of the Scriptures into question. He quotes the Old Testament to them. Psalm 110, a prophecy about the Messiah not being just David's son, but also being David's Lord. And I think there's a sense here that Jesus is reminding them that the people in the city, they've referred to Jesus as the son of David. And if Jesus is the son of David, the one who's worthy of praise and he's worthy of them crying out, Hosanna, that he's the Lord. He's the Lord of all. He's the son of God, the one who was sent. Jesus is suggesting to them that they have missed their Messiah. And there he is, standing right in front of them, presenting himself, as it were, to them as the Savior of sinners. Maybe your sin is what you're holding on to. But the Savior is there, and he's right in front of you, and you need him. In these verses, we'll see that they had no answer. There was nothing they could say. It says no man was able to answer him a word. And that brought an end to their questions. They went away without believing. They went away rejecting. And when they went away and rejected, I believe for many of them, they rejected him then for the final time. There's a sense that for some of you here, you have no answer to the claim of Christ. You understand that you're a sinner. You understand that you need God's salvation. You know that because that's what the Bible teaches. You know that not just because that's what the Bible teaches, but you know it because of the life that you live. You know what's in your heart. You know your character. You know your actions. And all of those things tell us that we don't live a holy life. And you understand as well that Jesus has come. And he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. But right now you don't want him. Up to now, you have rejected him. You have denied him. Can I say to you tonight as I finish, here's the truth of it all. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the son of David and he's David's Lord. He's the one who came to this earth to shed his precious blood. And the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you believe that tonight? Do you need it? Are you under the blood? The Lord Jesus went to the cross of shame, and he did it for you and he did it for me. And he shed his blood, and he took your place, and he took my place, and he did it so that he might bring us to God, so that we would have eternal life, so that we would have peace with God. Are you at peace with God tonight? Are you an enemy of God, still lost in the world? Do you know about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? What think ye of Christ? Is he your Savior? Or are you rejecting him? Can I say to you tonight, don't go on rejecting him, but you don't know what a day brings forth. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.